It's been said that most people die at age 25 and wait to be buried at age 65. So the big question is this: how are entrepreneurs like us who believe in God and read the Bible preparing for the financial danger that the bankers and brokers do not want us to know about? How do we resist a life that's less than we are promised and hold on to our dreams so that we can live in fullness every day? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the secret. My name is Nate Scott, and welcome to the Life is Rich podcast.
Well, today, since we are investment advisors to millionaires here at Chapelwood Financial Services, we have a very special guest on with us. Today, we've got our good friend, Nate Scott. He is the CEO and executive coach with Life is Rich Global. He's the author of Life is Rich, How to Create Lasting Wealth. He's also the host of Life is Rich with Nate Scott podcast. As a former enlisted soldier, combat veteran, graduate of West Point, and former infantry officer slash ranger, he excels at teaching people, quote, how to think versus what to think. Using his Life is Rich expert system, Nate helps professionals and organizations. He helps them to move from disruption to freedom so that they can live in fullness every day. So, Nate, thanks so much for joining our program today. We appreciate it.
Damon, I'm so excited to be here, man. It's such a great opportunity and an honor to visit with you. Wonderful people. I really enjoyed my visit out to your office. And so this is a great way to open up 2023.
Absolutely. And we really loved having you out here too. And one of the things that I'm just going to start off with this. So you're essentially an executive coach, and you had a career as first an enlisted member of the military and then became an officer, correct, after you graduated from West Point. Can you share how that experience in the military, and I know you, and you have a book, so we just mentioned it, Life is Rich, How to Create Lasting Wealth. I've read your book. Love it. I'm going to pull out some of my favorite chapters here in just a second. But I love how you share your story at the beginning. Can you share with our listeners, how did your experience in the military lead you to becoming an executive coach?
Absolutely. And I'd actually want to step it back just a little bit, because each component of that story was a building block. And that's one of the things for those that are listening and taking notes, I encourage them to make note of that. It's about every aspect of our life is a building block. It has a certain purpose to it. For me, I started thinking about financial independence as a 10th grader in high school. And I boiled it down to two areas, either business or real estate. And so with that being in my mind, I continued on with school. I played basketball and football, and I had a desire to play college basketball. And when my scholarship fell through, I turned down my academic scholarships and enlisted in the Army because I still had that goal in mind. And so as soon as I got to my unit, I immediately enrolled in college courses, continued to play sports. And as a result of that, one of my professors, her husband was a West Pointer, she came to me about the idea of going to West Point, and that opportunity availed itself. Well, as life will happen, things don't work out exactly as we desire. I got a knock on the door from my first sergeant telling me that we were going to be deployed to go serve during Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm. And in that moment, Damon, I really understood the importance of preparation, of guidance, and instruction. And though I was in this space and time in the pitch dark of night, walking the perimeter during Operation Desert Storm, I remember distinctly saying, Lord, if you allow me to make it back, I'll never waste a day of my life. And those moments in which I find myself relying on truly having guidance, instruction, preparation, inevitably stick with me in every aspect of my life. And so when I got back from serving in combat, I came back to Germany. I got the opportunity to go to West Point. It was February 26, 1992 at 10:30 a.m. I wrote out a Benjamin Franklin T, pros and cons, and inevitably made the decision to go to the academy. Graduated from West Point with degrees in engineering and sociology. And once again, had a moment in time which I realized the importance of guidance, instruction, and preparation. It's when I got introduced to the world of personal growth and development and entrepreneurship. And that forever changed my life. You see, I never knew about picking up books and going to seminars and being around successful people. And through that experience, and as I've spoken around the world, I tell people, take away my West Point degree, which is engineering and sociology. Take away my MBA from George Washington University, financial planning from Georgetown University. When I learned to pick up books and go to seminars and be around successful people, that's what laid the foundation for everything else I've done in my life. And that's what caused me to say, you know what? I've got to engage in an effort to show people how a person with my background, not only as a soldier, but as a person with degrees and someone that's climbed the corporate ladder, always found benefit in getting consultation, in getting guidance, and in getting instruction, in the importance of preparation. And I said, since I walked that path, that would be the best way for me to make impact in the world. And so that's why I do what I do and how I got to this position of life.
Yeah. And I love what you say there about I learned to pick up books and read. And, you know, one of the hallmarks, and we say it all the time on the show, one of the hallmarks of millionaires is that they spend far more time reading than watching TV. I think, you know, the average millionaire watches less than an hour or maybe even less than 30 minutes of television every day. And they spend a lot more time reading. And so I think that's, and they're reading self-improvement. And that's kind of to the heart of what you're saying there. You know, a lot of people would think, well, once I'm a millionaire, I've climbed the mountaintop. There's nothing more that I need to do, right? But in your experience, because you're working with some pretty wealthy people, because you've amassed some wealth of your own, you've had tremendous real estate portfolios, you've had tremendous investment portfolios, of course. In your book, you also detail how you've also been in a lot of debt too. You've been at both ends of the spectrum, so you know what that's like. But in your experience, the more wealth that people amass, the more likely it is that they need that guidance and coaching.
Yeah. And for me, Damon, when I had my early success, it was really during a 90-day window as I was leaving the military. There was a transitional period called terminal leave. And 90 days after reading a book, I went out and acquired over $1 million in assets in that 90-day period. One of my largest single holdings was a 40-unit apartment complex. And so through that laid the foundation for my first million at 32. Well, from there, I started getting cold called by people. They didn't know my background. They didn't know I had an MBA from George Washington University, financial planning from Georgetown, nor did they know I was actually looking for an advisor. Not because I didn't know what to do, but because I didn't want my emotions driving my decisions. I didn't want my emotions driving my decisions. You see, one of the things about my military background was that I understood the capacity of everyone in their positions, regardless of their title. I was an enlisted soldier that had the capacity to go to West Point, to graduate from West Point, to be a regimental commander at West Point, but I chose to be an enlisted soldier. Well, as a result, I also understood the importance of delegation. And so when I think about and what I recommend to people when it comes to surrounding yourself with a team of advisors is that you're still in control. You're still the CEO of your life, but you can't be the expert in everything. So why not delegate and then remain in control of the decision-making, but take in the information from those who are specialists and then bring it all together so that in turn you can make clear-headed decisions, which is why I said I teach people how to think versus what to think.
And when you start thinking about how to think, I'm a big believer in that too. And I think a lot of it is mindset, right? And we all have, we enter this life with certain biases, certain beliefs, the way we were raised by our parents. And then of course, our own experiences inform our own choices. However, one of the things, and if we boil this down to our individual listeners, okay, so you talk about mindset. Can you speak to when it comes to building wealth? Because you've had wealth, you've had it taken away. When those times came, can you, I mean, obviously life happens and things happen that are outside of your control. But when you have been in those periods of time where you amassed great wealth, and then in periods when maybe that wealth was lost, Can you pinpoint what your mindset was at that time? For example, did you, when you lost the wealth, did you ever have a moment where you think, aha, I've reached the pinnacle. I'm good. You know, tell me a little bit about that and how that might apply to our listeners and other people who are seeking to become millionaires.
Yeah, great question. For me, I remember distinctly when I had my highs. And actually in chapter 3 of my book, I call it Nearly Bankrupt and Homeless.
Yeah.
I could tell the story of how life was just so great. And it culminated with me being the CFO of an Inc. 500 fast growing company in September. And then in 90 days, we shut our doors. Now we were back to back 2 years in a row in Inc. 500's fastest growing company. But then in a moment of time, we shut our doors. We were a mortgage and real estate technology company. And for those of you out there that remember that crash, well, our warehouse lines shriveled up. We couldn't loan any more money. And as a result, that knocked our business out. Well, life was still pretty good for me because when I transitioned into that space, I was doing so financially independent. I had my own portfolio, my own wealth. As I said, one of those holdings was a 40-unit apartment complex. Well, the market crashed and people that were living in that apartment complex were losing their jobs. They, in turn, didn't have income. I still had the property. I still had debt. I was able to sustain that for 3 years on my own. But because my credit wasn't messed up, banks weren't responsive to me. It's like those who needed it or those that were at risk to them were the ones that they were more responsive to. And so all those culminated with also a change in my personal relationship, going through a divorce. Inevitably, it was like the perfect storm. And it took me from that particular space where I was liquid and feeling great about everything, where I realized that my net worth wasn't the thing that I lived on. It was the realization of the importance of cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I wrote the book. After I came through my storm, which wasn't easy, but it was a matter of realizing that my anchored belief was the thing that allowed me to maneuver and to really start over. I realized I had to make a shift. And so I took a sabbatical and did some introspection and made some shifts in my life. But I had always known that I could bounce back because I knew the steps to take. And it really boils down to three things. Find out what they want, give it to them, go get it, and then give it to them. Three simple steps inevitably to turn around any situation, to be a person of service.
Yeah, and you talk about
experience. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you talk about that a lot in your chapter on entrepreneurism.
That's right.
Which I highlighted several passages in there because I'm a big believer in entrepreneurism. And I'm probably biased. And as a self-employed professional, I truly believe that being self-employed, having your own business, it's not a guarantee of wealth, but it's certainly a truer path to building wealth than possibly being a W-2 employee. And there are plenty of people who earn great livings as a W-2 employee, but having freedom, financial freedom, having purpose often comes from owning your own business. And so is there, you know, a lot of our clients and a lot of our radio show listeners, they are nearing retirement and they're thinking about their next chapter. Are you seeing more and more people who are retiring, but not really retiring? They're leaving their 8 to 5 job, and now they want to go and start a business. Are you starting to work with more people like that? And are you seeing this surge in entrepreneurism as we're living longer and people want to do more meaningful work, perhaps?
Yeah, great question. And exactly, this is really how it plays out. When I was an advisor, I would ask people, well, what does retirement look like for you? Now, I was in a unique position. I went into the financial services with a global wealth management firm on my own financial terms. I went in there to see what they were being taught because, as I said, I was getting cold call. And from that experience, I realized that there were some gaps. And during that experience, I was able to find out that many people really never thought about what retirement really meant to them. Because the truth of the matter is, anybody can retire. The question is, are you financially retired? See, that's the distinction. See, I financially retired, which meant that I had the option of whether or not I was working or not. But then from that experience, I realized that I chose my next position, which was to go into the financial services, because I had an interest and I had a passion and I had a curiosity. Many people never think about what that is. And so I would say, what are you retiring to? And so the work that I do with people, regardless of where they're at in that season of life, is having the conversation about the importance of designing the life that you want. If money and time were not an issue, what would you be doing? And what I do is I help professionals to actually transition into entrepreneurship, recognizing the tax benefits of doing so, recognizing why it just makes sense to be in it, to employ yourself, because the government has two different tax systems. There's the tax system for the employee and the tax system for the business owner. The tax system for the employee is meant to drive taxation. The tax system for the business owner is meant to drive economy. And most people have never thought about that, never considered how the money flows. For the W-2 employee, they have a salary, and then before they're seeing the money, taxes are taken out. And then what's remaining is used to go pay to a business owner. And then they go back to work. And then taxes are taken out. And then they pay money to a business owner. And then in turn, they go back to work. The taxes. And that cycle, if you really think about it,
yeah,
that's what's really happening.
Yeah, I mean, it's as simple as going out to lunch, right? Everybody, most people go out to lunch during the day with their colleagues. That money that you're paying for lunch, it's going to the business owner, right?
Everything.
Who is now
and so
taking...
on the other side of that is the taxes for the business owner, which everyone can participate in, and recognizing that that system is meant to drive economy. And all one has to do is make a decision to get into that category, not getting away from the W-2. In fact, I advise people to have that W-2 if they got it and they enjoy it, but also create something so that you're building systems so that you're not walking away from the W-2 and then having a job. No, keep the W-2, create the business, create systems so that if you decide to walk away from the W-2, you don't walk into self-employment. No, build the business system so that in turn it can continue to pay you. And so how simple is it? The government just requires there are three things. Number one, you have to have an intent to earn a profit. You have to have an intent to earn a profit. Well, Nate, what does that mean? That simply means that you have to decide on the problem that you want to address, who that audience you want to serve, and then be intentional about inviting them to get the benefit of the product and service that you have. That's number one. The second thing that we have to do is to do it on a consistent and ongoing basis. What is consistent and ongoing? 45 minutes per day, 3 to 5 days per week. So I tell people, set your alarm and your timer for 15 minutes. 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the afternoon, 15 minutes at night, doing certain activities will allow you to have 45 minutes per day doing something that can generate an income for you. Why? Because there are only 6 steps that you really got to focus on in any type of endeavor. And you're doing it anyway. I'm just trying to show you how to monetize it. You got to have a lead source. Your lead source can be your office mates. Your lead source can be your college classmates, the people that you attend church with, whatever it is, wherever they are. Number two, contact. Get contact information from people. Stay in touch. Just be personable. And that in turn gives you an opportunity to have another step covered. Number three, set an appointment. Have lunch. Have dinner. Have a drink. Set an appointment. Document it so that in turn you're doing the activity of business. And then when you're there, make your presentation. Let someone know what you're doing. Let someone know who you're looking for. Let someone know how you can serve them. Ask questions. And then number four, after you've made your presentation, then you've got to be prepared to follow up. And Damon, where people struggle at with thinking about, well, can I do this or can I do that, is that they make it such that it's dependent upon someone's yes or their no. Well, the government doesn't count that. The government is based upon whether or not you're doing the activity. And if you're doing the activity, then there's going to be a time in which someone is going to say yes, but you got to be prepared to recognize that 2% of your yeses happen on the first touch, 3% on the second, 5% on the third, 10% on the fourth, but 80% of your yeses happen on the fifth through the 12th touch. Now, the reality is you can apply that exact same thing if you're someone out there that's single and looking to find someone to get married to. How many times are you going to actually make the ask with the date?
Yeah, it's very rare that you're going to propose on the first date, right?
That's right.
So, no, I love that. And again, it can be scary. And my wife, she is going to be, she's a classroom teacher. She's going to be leaving the classroom as a math teacher and instead is going to be opening her own. She's already done it, formed an LLC. And you talk about different business structures in your book, you know, and it's not which one is better. It's just, you know, every choice comes with advantages and disadvantages, right? Right. There are pros and cons to every choice. And you talk about C corporation versus electing subchapter S election. You talk about LLCs, you talk about sole proprietorships, that sort of thing. And my wife created an LLC where she's going to be a private math tutor. She's going to continue doing what she loves, teaching math. But now what she's transitioning into, she took exactly, without even really thinking it, it just was instinctual. She sees that in her classroom, she's got 15 to 20 kids. They all have varying degrees of success in math. But one key problem is not that the kids don't know the math. It's that their parents don't know the math and don't know how to help them at home. That's the real problem. And it just so happens it's the parents that have the money to pay for her services. And so, yeah, you know, I mean, there are so many ways. I love how you describe entrepreneurship's actually pretty simple. Find something, and I'm paraphrasing you here, but basically find something that people are either unwilling or unable to do, and then go find a way to deliver that to them and then deliver it to them.
Problem solving.
Yeah.
It's just problem solving. That's the way I define it.
And people will pay you for that, you know, to do that. Let's transition real quick. And if you're just joining us here on It's All About the Money, honey, I'm your host, Damon King, certified financial planner, professional, and wealth manager with Chapelwood Financial Services. The financial diva, Victoria Woods, is out on business this weekend. She'll be back. Today, our special guest is Nate Scott. He's the CEO and executive coach with Life is Rich Global, and he's also the author of Life is Rich, How to Create Lasting Wealth, and all of these concepts we're talking about today, entrepreneurship, cash flow management, and what I want to talk about next, taxes. It's all in your book, and I love it. It's a short read, but short doesn't necessarily mean not chock full of information. In fact, I prefer shorter is better, and I like getting those bite-sized pieces. And I love how you intersperse it with your own personal stories and your experience in the military. Regarding taxes, when I go out and teach my classes, I hear from people all the time, and clients will bring it up. I hate paying taxes. Uncle Sam is just, you know, it's all a racket. And I get it. I don't know anybody that enjoys paying taxes. However, I share with them, I have a guaranteed solution for how you could never pay taxes again. Would you like to hear it? And of course, they always say yes. And I was like, okay, it's really simple. Stop earning income and you'll never pay a dime of tax again in your life. Obviously, nobody wants to do that. So when it comes to your coaching and your experience as an advisor, what are some of the biggest mindset changes you think people need to experience in order to stop viewing the tax code as a weapon to bludgeon them in the head and to start using it to their advantage?
Damon, the mindset is just exposure and understanding. I mean, honestly, it's not, you know, unless you're exposed to information the right way, it goes back to what I said, how to think versus what to think. You'll always look at it from that vantage point. But it's an interesting thing when you change your environment and you change your circle, when you start to start having conversations with, you know, wealth and having tax, you know, and an action step is actually doing tax planning versus thinking that your filing is the same thing, because it's not. That's where the shift comes. You know, Life is Rich, How to Create Lasting Wealth is a principle-centered, biblically-based leadership program focused on personal growth and entrepreneurship. But I wrote it to address the cash flow danger that no one is talking about. The fact that 77 million baby boomers are retiring and facing the cash flow danger, that 66 out of 100 people age 65 earn less than $30,000 retirement, that 47% of people say if they had a $400 emergency, they'd have to sell something or borrow money to address it, and 68% of people are living paycheck to paycheck. But it's about how to think versus what to think. And I keep reiterating that point because leadership is the answer, cash flow danger. It happened to me, becoming an entrepreneur, choosing the right entity, raising capital, asset protection, protecting financial privacy, reducing your taxes, retirement planning, residual income retirement planning, estate planning, and Life is Rich. All of those things are the are required and necessary to truly create lasting wealth. Because wealth is about the time, not about the money. It's not about the balance sheet. It's about the income statement and the balance sheet. You don't live off of the net worth. You're really living off your cash flow. So those concepts aren't to be taken one off. And that's sadly what many people do. But that's what I love about Chapelwood, is that you guys truly work as trusted advisors, which means that you have a team of experts around you. You're the go-to because of the established trust relationship, but then you have the other relationships. That's what's needed to understand the role that taxes play. You know, the truth of the matter is that everyone can reduce their taxes if they in turn will take the step of entrepreneurship because of how the money flows. As a business owner, as an entrepreneur, you make the money or you try to make money. You have an intent to earn a profit. And then that money that you're putting forth, such as education, like people working with me, I get them started in their own business so that they immediately can start to invest in themselves through me. And that in turn allows them to have that deduction. And it's like throughout the year, you're planning. You're like, okay, wait a minute. I've got over this. Well, what can I do with this that I can get a return on investment? Well, you're the greatest asset. In fact, I say you are the asset. You are the asset. And so with that simple strategy, you can set up the business. You have the opportunity now to start to take the living space in which you have and start to now write stuff off. You got the tools that you use. You have the trips that you take. As long as you're operating with the intent to go out and continue to add value to others' lives, the government is going to partner with you and give you an opportunity to go do that because they're expecting that you're going to continue to stimulate the economy.
Absolutely. I mean, and they incentivize you to. I mean, right now, as part of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017 that was signed into law at the end of 2017, you know, small businesses, basically they get a major deduction. The first 20% of income that you come that comes in, you basically just get to write that off, and you are only taxed on 80% of that. So there are a lot of benefits there. But even for those that don't have a business, you know, if you just want to retire and you're done, and there is still a tax efficient way to pull assets out of your retirement accounts. And you said it, and I have a different way of saying it. Once you get into retirement, it's less about asset management, your net worth, and more about cash flow management. Where is your income coming from? And actually, in your book, you are an advocate, especially when you're talking about real estate. So there are a lot of our listeners and a lot of our clients either own real estate or they want to own real estate. And one of the things you say, one big mistake you said people make is buying vacant land. Yeah. You and I thought that was interesting. Don't go buy a piece of vacant land. Instead, you want to buy a piece of land. And you could really say this for any asset, especially in retirement. Purchase an asset that's going to generate income. I mean, why? Why do you say that? I know why I say it, but why do you say it?
Well, because it's income coming in, producing, as opposed to something that you're paying out, just paying out an expense. There's so many income producing opportunities that in turn allow you to not only create the income, but also have the deductions against that other income. is something that also, if you know, that additional income is needed, because let's say that, you know, spouses retire at different points. Well, then that income allows one to now offset that. They can start to fund that coverage of, say, the medical coverage. They can start to do other things because of the income that's being produced, whereas they can't if they don't have some type of income producing vehicle.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's true. And it also speaks to another chapter in your book where you talk about debt, and you talk about specifically leveraging debt. And again, I'm paraphrasing this, but another one of my favorite parts is when you say, a lot of people believe that wealthy people don't have debt. He said, no, wealthy people have lots of debt. Wealthy people owe lots of people money because they have learned the strategy that don't use your own money, use other people's money to purchase assets, or in this case, use the income produced by one asset to go out and acquire another asset.
Gives you an infinite return on your money. That's yeah. really what's happening, is that if you know the cash flow is coming in and you borrow the money, well, then the cost of borrowing the money is nil because it's covered.
Yeah.
And that's why you can get the financing on the actual asset as opposed to someone that can't. You know, one of the smartest things that one can do from a real estate standpoint is, instead of beginning with a single purchase, single property, is they will buy a multifamily property. In fact, I said my first investment property was a 4-unit apartment complex. I started out by first buying a condo, and I put a cap on it. I said, I'm not going to spend more than $100,000. I just gotten back from Korea, was in the Northern Virginia area. I was serving in the old guard at Arlington National Cemetery, and got the condo. And then 4 months later, bought a 4-unit in Georgia, absentee owner. And then from there, went from that 4-unit to a 40-unit apartment complex. But the point is that you have that as a starting point where you can now get money for that because you can now use the income as a part of your documentation to afford it.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, ladies and gentlemen, if you've been listening to us for any length of time, yes, there are bad debts out there, you know, credit card debt, you got to get rid of that. But this concept that using any kind of debt at all to acquire assets is bad, that's just wrong. I mean, you've heard of a home equity line of credit. You know, we've got a lot of people that have used that to either make improvements on their property or to purchase something else. Many of our clients use what's called a securities-backed line of credit. You can actually borrow from your own stock, bond, and mutual fund portfolio to go out and acquire things. You can borrow from your 401k if that's what you need to do. Last weekend's show, we talked about captive insurance. You can actually set up a subsidiary of your own company and create a captive insurance company. And instead of paying those premiums to some other property and casualty insurance company, pay them to yourself. And then you can take loans from that. So, Nate, I want to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about your coaching specifically. So let's say somebody's listening right now and they are a business owner, they're thinking about going into business, or they just want somebody to, a life coach, you know, somebody that can give them a different perspective. How would somebody go about contacting you? And is there some offer that you have that they could take advantage of to learn a little bit more about you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The first thing is that coaching is something that I'll say is for the person that you're listening and you know that you have the capacity and the potential to do more than you've done thus far in your life. You actually know that there's another level. And because you know that, you want to take that next step. You try some other things, but you realize the importance of accountability, that it'd be a good thing to have someone that can hold you accountable to the goals in which you set. And you want someone that has perspective, that can actually listen to you, reflect back to you, and provide some insights that maybe you don't have. When people hire me, what they're hiring is someone that, again, that has shown throughout his life in various areas, decision-making and leadership. If you're someone that values a sounding board and having that perspective, then you're the right person. And I invite you to go to www.lifeisrich.com. with natescott.com and get the free download that I have for you. Now, I really specialize in working with professionals and moving them from disruption to freedom so that they can live in fullness every day. Life happens to all of us. I've had the disruption of the career change from the military to the civilian. I've had a disruption of divorce. No one prepares for that. No one plans for that. Nobody wants for that, but it happens. How do you navigate that? I've had a disruption of a market crash. I've had a disruption of as an entrepreneur, of having a business close. Well, through all those things, the question is, how do you bounce back? It's really a reflection of character. And so my desire is to just stand in the gap with those of you that have had some punches in life and you need to get your balance and you want to really re-engage. But for those of you that are really, really you're in that next phase of life and you've already retired, well, I know that there's more in life for you right now. And if you felt that way, then I'd love to have the conversation with you so that we can in turn map out this next phase of life. What else do you want to do in order to make an impact?
Absolutely.
So again, that's all I have, but Life is Rich with NateScott.com is a free download and it's a great introduction.
Well, thank you, Nate, so much. Love that you agreed to come on the show with us this weekend. And, you know, like I said, from time to time, we love to have special guests on to talk about not just living, but thriving, you know, and especially if you're looking to start a business. Maybe you are already retired or looking to retire and you're ready to start a business, or you are working right now. You are in a job that you like, but you're trying to transition into something that you love. And I also like what you say in your book that when you find something that you just absolutely love to do and you turn that into your business, it's so gratifying to get paid for something that you love to do. And what's even more important is when you have rough days, because there will be rough days, you won't just give up on it because you love it so much and it carries you through. And that's certainly the way I feel about the work that I do here at Chapelwood Financial. I know Victoria does as well, and I know that's the way you feel.
Absolutely.
So, well, thanks again for joining us on the show. We really appreciate it and hope to have you back again.
Thank you, Dame. I appreciate it. Thanks to Victoria. Love the work you guys do and looking forward to continue to work with you guys.
All right. Thanks a lot, Nate.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Life is Rich podcast. I'm your host, Nate Scott. Remember, if I tell you, you'll forget. If I teach you, you'll remember. But if I involve you, you'll learn. One way to get involved is to rate, subscribe, and leave feedback on iTunes by answering the question, what did you like best about what you heard? One of the problems faced by Christian entrepreneurs striving for success is having an alliance with like-minded people working together for a common, definite objective. Would you like to join a community of Life is Rich soldiers? If so, please rate and subscribe to the Life is Rich podcast on iTunes and text GROWTH to 904-204-0846 for the link and this month's free book. Again, please rate and subscribe to the Life is Rich podcast and text GROWTH to 904-204-0846. Again, my name is Nate Scott. Take care and be blessed.